Hey, before I jump into the message this morning, I do want to take a moment. As several months ago, we had announced that Levi and Vanessa, who, for those that don't know, that's Levi that was on the screen, his wife Vanessa over here, are going to be transitioning to Colorado. Now, we aren't a church that lets people went. We sent. People are sent. They just didn't went. And so we're going to send them in September. September 17th will be their final Sunday here, and they're going to be joining a church in Colorado Springs, the Staff Reach Church there, in preparation in about 2 to 3 years that they're going to plant a church in Denver metro area, the exact location to be determined, but we'll be helping launch them into that new church when that comes. But in the process of that, of course, both of them fill some very significant roles, but I wanted to introduce to you those that that God has blessed us and brought us. Levi, like I said, and Vanessa both fill a lot of areas and responsibilities, but one of those, is Francis here today?
Sick.
He's sick, okay. So Francis, you've seen around taking pictures, and he's gonna be stepping into a lot of our tech stuff, graphic stuff, design stuff, IT stuff, and website, and all of those, social media, all that stuff. And so if you haven't met him, you'll get a chance to do that. But also in our youth ministry. And so I wanted to just take a moment with of our service here and have CJ and Jennifer stand up and come down here real quick. And I don't have a microphone, and I didn't prepare you to say anything, but I just wanted to introduce you. They've been with us for, well, actually a little over a year that we have met and been able to connect with you guys. And then in the last 9-10 months that you've been a part of Life Church. And so they have been, or had been previously, had youth ministry. They were leaders in the city. I didn't actually want them to speak, but that's all right. No, I'm just kidding. For 5 years, right? In the city, in San Francisco, and recently, a year ago, moved out here and connected to Life Church. And so with their heart for youth and their experience with it, it's, they've already jumped in and been a part of that. And so I don't know if you want to take just a second just to introduce, your kids aren't here. You have 3 kids. You can tell us briefly about them, but I wanted everyone just to know who you were and have your face before them this morning.
I do enough talking?
Oh, no. Well, like Pastor Mike said, we were in the city doing some, he was doing a youth he was a youth pastor for a church in the city in the Sunset, and I was helping out with the young adults at that time, I think for maybe about 3 to 4 years. We do have little boys. Josiah Peace is our 9-year-old, turning 10 next week. Calvary Judah is our 4-year-old, and then we have Kairos Zane, who is 1.5, right? So they're very active. You'll probably see them around. So yes, we're very excited to be here.
So yes, just to add on to that, yeah, we've did ministry for quite some time. Other than what we did previous in our previous church, we were also helping out at another church for about, say, 15 years. My wife has background. She ran a college ministry on the Berkeley campus. So, I mean, young adults is her passion, or college ministry, as well as youth is mine. So I feel like I'm the PE teacher here, so it works out in both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Amen. You can hold on to that, or you can give that back to Mary Lou. Hold on, Lord, just thank you that you send out and you raise up. And it's not by accident or coincidence or just, oh, good timing. It is divine, sovereign guidance and direction. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you brought CJ and Jennifer here, that you've planted them in this house, and that, God, that you're going to use their hearts, their lives, their gifts, Lord, their family, to make a difference and to bear much fruit in Life Church and in this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Okay. Here we go. All right. And I do, you know, talk about transition. most all of you know that there's also another transition that will be happening at the end of October, and with Julie and I, and the process for that has been going well. We had several applications and resumes, I should say, and online interviews. So the board has been processing all of that, as well as there's four representatives from Life Church that are part of this process that have been walking through all of that. This week will be the next step of that with some in-person interviews, and so we'll keep you posted. That's what I promised to do, just to kind of update you and keep you posted. And what I know is that God sends and God raises up. Amen. And so he's got us. All right. How's everyone doing this morning? Good. All right. Hey, so if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 9, and I'm going to be there in just a moment. But we've been on a journey this summer, and we've been using this as a guide, this book, Bless, and we talked a little bit about that. We have a few that are still available back there. But we've been going through this perspective about really what was important. And as we look as a church and as individuals and as families and the community, what are some of the foundation fundamental priorities that Jesus communicated to us for how we're to live and what we're to do? And so we've been walking through this series, Love God, Love People, and Change the World. How many of you would love to change the world? Come on. Oh, that's it. All right. How many would love to change the world? Let me hear you. Yes. All right. Okay. You can be a part of that. It's more than any one person can do, but it's not more than all of us can do together. Amen. Not just Life Church, but the church, those that are followers of Jesus that are multiplied around the world, that together that we can do those, do something that makes a significant difference. And so we've been walking through some understanding of priorities. And I told you that we're also going to do some practical things that really help us on how to live. Now, how many of you like food? Come on now, all right? So you came to the right place. I'm going to tell you today, you can change the world through eating. It's bizarre, but you'll catch on here in just a moment. But on July 4th every year, do you guys know what happens on July 4th every year? In Coney Island, yes, there's a competitive eating. Have you ever heard of competitive eating? All right, so there's all kinds. I did just a little bit of research on this, and I mean, there are all kinds of competitive eating. Hot dogs is the biggest one, but my favorite, come on now, are tacos. You have wings, you have gyros, oysters, steak, hamburgers, ice cream, bacon. Come on, now, I'll join. I'm in. Tacos and bacon, you can't go wrong there. Pie eating, burgers, all of those things, and we just love it. And so there's a guy, Joey Chestnut, that's the world record holder when it comes to eating. I think we have some pictures of him there. So I'm just setting you up for lunch right now, all right? So and he has the record, and he just won his 16th title on July 4th. I know you wanted to know this. Thank you for being in church today, but there's more. You can kind of scroll through that. Yeah, there's the next one. He's up to 38 there. He ends up getting 62, but his record is 76. Come on, 76. I think it's in 8 minutes, all right? They got one more. So he's the champion with that. All right, so eating and food is a part of our culture and society that we love food, but this has nothing to do with the gospel, but it's just interesting, all right, people? I've just found all this stuff. So there's different formats of eating food in these competitive things. There's speed eating, like that, where you can eat as much as you can in a short amount of time or period of time. There's quantity eating, come on now, as much as you can eat. And then there's endurance eating. I did not know that you could eat fast or long or a lot, all of those things. But there's this idea in our culture, in our society, that we value meals and we value food. And in the competitive eating world, there's guidelines on how to do this. So here's a tip for you. Train your stomach. That's one of the things that they, so I guess you gorge yourself. That's how you do that. But there were some techniques. One of them was the chipmunk technique. Come on, Al, you fill your cheeks up, and you guys, you didn't enjoy this as much as I did. All right. So there's the solids and liquids. So you eat and then you drink water. That's how you see them do that. Or the small bites method. There's all of those things. But one of the funny things on this says, make sure you practice recovery. And Joey Chestnut, after he won, says it takes him 4 days to recover from eating 62 hot dogs in 8 minutes. So don't try that at home, people. The idea, though, is that there is things in our life about meals that can be more significant than just the food that you consume. And in our acrostic, the bless, and we studied that from the beginning, that from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 12, we're instructed that, that God makes his promise, I will bless you to be a blessing. That I want to work in your life so that I can work through your life. That I'm going to bless you in every way so that you can be a blessing to others. And we saw that through Jesus, that he went around blessing people, that there was this model of how do you make a difference? How do you change the world? And it revolved around this idea of being a blessing to other people and having a heart for others. And Jesus helped us understand in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, where he talks about the most important thing that we can remember. The most important commandment is this, that to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love our neighbors or love those that are in close proximity, those that are around us. Your neighbor isn't a physical neighbor necessarily in a house or an apartment or wherever you might live. That a neighbor is those that are in close proximity throughout my day or throughout my life. And he says that to love God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor. And there's this opportunity that's the great commandment. And then there's this great commission that Jesus gave, the Jesus mission, the mission that we all get to live. And out of Matthew 28 verses 19 and 20, where it says those words that it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've taught you, and I will be with you. The idea is one of Jesus' last words before he ascended back to heaven is he gives an assignment, and the assignment required action. Everyone say action. So we're not spectators. We're involved and we're engaged and we're part of this. And so there's this call to action, and there's this opportunity for us to be a people that get to experience God's hand, God's working, God's will in our life, God's blessing in our life. But there's this opportunity then for us to be a blessing to others, that we get to live that. There's this action that God's going to be with me. And as I move and as I stretch out, that the promise is I'm going to be right there with you. And we understand this in Romans 10, 14. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, though. It says this about calling out on the name of God, people turning to God, people experiencing God. Verse 14 says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? So people can't experience God's blessing, God's hands, God's salvation, God's help until they turn to him or they call out to him that he's there, he's waiting. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? We're going to talk about that at the end. So the B starts with beginning in prayer. The L is listening. Today, the E is this idea about eating. Come on now, that's so good. But it's about really connecting with people. That's the E. The eating is really connecting with people about meals, come on now, and moments that you'll see in the life of Jesus, that around these different meals, there were moments that created life change. There were moments that spoke into hearts and lives, that around these times of connecting, that God used those moments, or Jesus used those times to really impact hearts and lives. And so the idea of being in close proximity or being in connection with people, and that's where life change comes. How will they know unless somebody tells? Guess who the someone is? Everyone just wave your hand at me. Just makes me feel good. All right, you're listening. Yeah, it's us. Each and every one of us. That the someone is us. It's the someone, and we'll talk about that in 2 weeks, or when we get to the second L on this in greater detail, but the opportunity for us to live our lives, to be a blessing to other people. And it's really this opportunity to connect with people. It says this in John chapter 3, verse 22. It says, then Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem, and they went to the Judean countryside Jesus spent some time with them there, and he was baptizing people. So he spent time with people around him. He spent time with people that he was trying to help them grow and connect. And for Life Church, the mission of Jesus that he's put in our hearts is to help people in the East Bay grow in a relationship with God, be in a growing relationship. So wherever they're at, wherever you're at, wherever we're at, that it doesn't matter where you start. Come on now. It's the steps. It's not just where you are, but it's where you're heading. And our role, not just the church's role, but our role, my role, your role, is to help people take their next step with God, to draw closer, not just to, come on now, hope things get better, but to help things get better. Not just to hope that God can bring change or that people will change, but we get to help in that process. We get to be the ambassadors that carry his message, that the mission of all of us, and mine and yours and us as a church, is that we can be a blessing, that we can share meals with meaning and moments in them. It's just one way, but it's really about connecting with people. That somehow we are spending time. And so this idea, or this picture where it says that Jesus spent time with them, is really this picture. And I love this picture, is because what happened is, Levi, come here, is it says that Jesus took a moment and he goes to the countryside. Another translation said he went into the foothills or to the hillside. And he just spent time with people that needed to know more, learn more, grow more. People that would ultimately become the life changers that change the world, the ones that would be a part of this upper room in Acts chapter 2 that would literally, what they would say about them would turn the world, come on, upside down. It was these people that he's like, man, if I could just spend some time, that there's something in me, come on, that can make a difference in them. And the word spend time with literally means to rub off on. So Jesus, I couldn't just do this to anyone, but you're my son, so I can do this. So really, come on. I'm gonna be kind here. But the idea is the more time that we invest or we connect with people, it's literally like rubbing off on them. Like who, now don't really do that. That'll freak people out, all right? So, oh, you're so nice. I really like you. Did you get your eyes done or no? The picture is this, though. If I'll invest myself into other people, there's something that God's done in you as you surrendered your life or as you're trying to follow Jesus. And it doesn't matter where you're at. Again, it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey. All of us, wherever we are, we want to take a step forward. Not just hope you can move forward, but we want to help you move forward. And for Jesus, his lifestyle was that he spent time with people, or what he did is he really let what was on the inside rub off on those that were around him. So here's my question. Do you know what I'm going to ask you? If people spend time with you, what would you be rubbing off? never mind. Hopefully you took a shower. But anyway, I'm just kidding. The picture, the idea that am I allowing the Word of God, the life of God, to so impact my life that when I take moments with people, that there's something inside of me that God can say, you know what? They need this word of encouragement. They need this smile. They need this hope. They need this prayer. They need somebody just to pat them on the back. But what Jesus did was literally rub off on people. And so what I'm hoping, don't go anywhere. I like preaching with you. So.
I know.
And they look more and more like you each and every day. No, I'm just kidding. No. Anyway. Someday, buddy, I'm your destiny. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Vanessa. All right. So apparently that gene comes from the wife's parent, dad, and Dennis had a lot of hair. So. But my challenge or my prayer, this idea of the connecting with people, is really is, are you allowing God to shape and mold you so that you can allow him to pull that out and to impart or to bless or to encourage, not just maybe your children, but the people that you interact with. And that's what Jesus did. And that's the heartbeat of what this part is. Thanks, bro. Yep. The idea that Jesus spent time in, and you see so many things that are revolved around eating meals in the Bible that over and over. And if I were to ask you, what are some of the most strategic and intentional things that God did or that Jesus did when he was here on this earth, you'd probably give me, you know, the same answers. You'd say, well, it's his teachings, because his teaching, you know, taught us how to live. And so the most strategic or important thing that he did or intentional thing was how he taught, or his miracles that they showed us who God was through his miracles. And you might even pick a few of those, the feeding of the 5,000, of course, hanging on the cross for our sins, the walking on water, raising Lazarus to the from the dead. You say, man, that was significant and intentional. But if you read it, so many of Jesus's interactions connecting with people were moments that were natural, moments that just happened because he would invite himself over more than one time. Hey, I'm going to come eat with you. This is Zacchaeus. Hey, he's up in a tree. I want to see you. And Jesus comes like, hey, I'm going to go to your house for dinner. He didn't say, come to my house. You know, he's like, I'm going to come to yours. Oh man, I didn't clean up. I got to pick up my clothes. Got to, you know, clean the kitchen. But Jesus would invite himself to have meaningful moments. And there's nothing else that you take from this. That's my encouragement and challenge, is that we'll take meaningful moments. Maybe it's around food. Maybe it's around coffee. Come on, somebody. No coffee drinkers in the house. All right. Maybe it's just around an opportunity where I'm walking and I get to interact with my neighbors, or maybe it's at that favorite restaurant you go to and the owner knows you by name and knows your order. Come on now. If you've been with me to the taqueria over here, the usual? Yeah, the usual. Two tacos, el pastor, con queso. Or not long ago, the manager of Chipotle. Hey, welcome back. Haven't seen you in a while. I'll be back. But then opens up the door like, you pastor a church, don't you? I do. And boy, we'd love to invite you to come. That moment, I didn't plan, but opportunities and moments that God opens up doors, that these times for Jesus, the first miracle he does is at a wedding feast that's revolving around meals. And there's so many significant things that I just was brainstorming with Julie a little bit, that I just was thinking through our life. Our first date was actually at a singles conference. Come on, at a church, but it was meal. That night we went to a place called Black Angus, Stuart Anderson's. I think it's gone out of business now. Then it became also the same place that we had our rehearsal dinner at when we got married, but it was a moment and it was around a meal. Our first date, the rehearsal, our engagement, I took her to the Country Dinner Playhouse in Denver. And it's now burned down and it's gone, but you know, but the marriage stuck. All right. So anyways, but this meal, and then I took her to a little park, and you've heard the story where I opened up the box of the ring and it fell down the stairs. Anyway, there's more to that. But I remember the first credit card I ever got, people. We were just married. I got my first Citibank card. And I don't encourage you to get cards, but if you get a card, pay it off. All right. That's what I'd say. But my first time I used a credit card was at Chili's. I remember I was so proud. It was a gold card. Honey, I got this one. I could have taken her anywhere, and I took her to Chili's. I mean, I'm going to use this credit card for the very first time. And it's just different things and how times have changed. And I just think about even this week, we got an opportunity to go out to dinner with some dear friends of ours. And it was supposed to, you know, in my mind, be an hour, hour and a half, and it's 3 hours long. But it was around this meal, but it was a moment. We used to, when we were younger, our celebration times, like yesterday was our 34th wedding anniversary. That was yesterday. Come on now, that's, she's tolerated me for 34 years, and she's going to stick with me now for the next 34. But when we were younger, I remember the big deal once or twice a year, maybe it was Sizzler. Come on now. No one knows. You don't even know what Sizzler is. Come on now. You're just not that that wise and mature. And so we've upgraded our taste now once or two. We try to do Ruth Chris or something like that. It's about the same as Sizzler, in case you don't know. But the opportunity around moments that allow you to have a chance to just connect and rub off on others. And that's the opportunity to change the world, is really this idea. We begin with prayer. We talked about that and how two different people experienced as they began to pray with somebody last, or for somebody, that out of the blue they called them crazy, wonderful, incredible. And then about the listening to people, but listening to God, and then this idea of connecting with people. And in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has this another opportunity where he is going to help Matthew experience the purpose of life, the meaning of life, the significance of who Jesus is. And in Matthew chapter 9, beginning of verse 9, it says that as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. And he tells him these words, "Follow me." Everyone say, "Follow me." Very simple. Jesus had something. He's like, "I'm heading the way that is true, right, and best." We have the opportunity to help people not follow you as in you're the savior, come on now, but to follow the path, to follow the way, to follow the words of Jesus. And he says, "Follow me and be my disciple," or "be my student" is what that word means. And Jesus said to him, said that to him. So Matthew got up and he follows Jesus. Later, verse 10, later Matthew invites Jesus to his disciples and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, a meal, a moment, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. They were heathens. Verse 11, but when the Pharisees, or the religious people, saw this, they would ask the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" Come on now. Why does he take moments with people that don't know? Why does he change the pattern of his life to include people that other people reject? Why does he take time to include people that don't even know him, people that are far from him, people that don't think like him, act like him, or even want what he wants? Why would he do that? Because he knew that if he took time with people, that who he was would rub off on those that are around him, and it could fulfill the Jesus mission of helping other people know God, love God, and follow God. And for us, it's this idea of belong, believe, and become, that we can connect with people and belong. That's why church, so many times I say, "Hey, church is over. Don't run out. Take a few moments. Introduce yourself to someone you don't know, that you can build community, that you can find this place of belonging." It's moments. And it doesn't have to be a meal. It could be pickleball. Come on, somebody. My kids just got me hooked on this. I've played 3 times, but in my mind, I'm an all-star. Come on, now, buddy. But it's things that I enjoy. And the thing that I love about this, because sometimes people are going to make excuses like, "Well, I don't really like having people over my house," or I wouldn't even know what to say, or "I don't even have time." Come on now. How many of you eat during the week? Come on now. How many of you eat during the week? Yeah, this is an interactive part of the service. All right. How many of you that it takes a moment for you to eat? A lot of us eat in the car. We inhale it, but the thing I love about this concept, like, there's things that I enjoy doing. Maybe it's pickleball, maybe it's golf. For some of you, you'd be going to Starbucks or a coffee shop, but a meal that instead of trying to do something more, it's something you already do, but you do it with intentionality. How can I bless somebody? How can I allow the Jesus in me to love somebody today? How can I plan this opportunity to be a blessing? So I told you this is going to be more practical, the beginning with prayer, the listening to people. Now it becomes this opportunity to create moments, whether it's a meal or whatever that is. The worship team can come, and I'm going to kind of wrap this up here. But for Jesus, that he was attacked because he took moments with people. Religious people, they were indignant. It was an outrage. It was scandalous what Jesus was doing. Who are you talking to, Jesus? It was people who were disconnected from God. People that he wanted to help them move forward in their step with God. That he would take moments and time. And today, like I said, maybe it's a coffee shop. Maybe today the Dream Bean's open, right? After service, you take a moment and buy somebody a Dream Bean. I want to say this though. This last year, because our Coffee with Cause, the Dream Bean, your faithfulness. We also sell it to our families at the school off and on or periodically throughout the school year. We gave $5,000 to missions because you drink coffee. Come on now. So you can go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee, or you can have a Dream Bean and change the world. And next week, we have our year end, our fiscal year is July 1 through June. We have our financial reports we make available every year. But how can I allow my life to shine? How can I have meaningful moments with those around? There's a quote in the book, and I won't take time this morning, that literally says, if we would just take one meal a week and include somebody that's disconnected, or somebody that needs somebody to speak life in them, or somebody to take a moment with them, if just once a week, we literally could change the world through eating. That's what they say. But it's not doing something more. It's just allowing God to bring intention to what we do. The opportunity to experience that. And the passage goes on in verse 12 of Romans chapter 9. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. And they want to point their finger. But what he goes on to say, and what he's helping them understand, is you're sick too. You religious folks that think you have it all together, you're trying to earn it, you're trying to prove it, you're trying to be good enough and know all the rules and regulation, but you don't live it. You don't love people. You don't take time for those that are hurting and those that are hopeless or helpless, that you get to be that person. Verse 13, Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, says, then he added, now go and learn the meaning of the scriptures. So he's just insulting them. It's like, okay, you religious people, you think you know it all? Now go figure out what it really means. It doesn't mean just to act like you're religious or just say the right things. It literally means to live the right way, to love people. Now go and learn the meaning of these scriptures. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. So they're so caught up in, oh, I give this up. And it's like, man, we're here. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. But what he's looking for is not just us gathering, but us scattering, us connecting, us relating, us having moments with people to share this, the meaning of this moment with others. Like, go figure it out, because what I really want is mercy. That people don't get what they deserve. Thank you, Jesus. I don't get what I deserve. The mercy of God. And the grace of God means I get what I don't deserve. I don't get what I deserve, and I get what I don't deserve. That's the beauty of this relationship with God, the mercy and grace. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifice. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners, those that are far from God, those that need a place to belong. Meaningful moments. I titled my message, Don't Eat Alone, because the E in bless is about eating with others. But really, I would, but you can't spell bless, B-L-M-S-S, blooms. But meaningful moments is how we get to live. And I'm praying that God will give you meaningful moments. And we'll talk about the next two L's. Or excuse me, the S's, the next two S's about serving in our story the next couple weeks. Next week, Julie's speaking, and it will be awesome. And she's got an illustrated message, and there's a couple other people that will be sharing with her. And so don't miss next week. But after that, we'll wrap this up. But meaningful moments. Would you stand with me? And I just want to pray. My heart is full because my dream lives beyond my moment and even my season. But for all of us, that God takes us from here and he allows us to have the opportunity to connect with people with the option, not to just say, oh, you know, I got another notch in my belt and I did this and I'm a good person and I did X, Y, Z. No. Meaningful moments that I can just speak life to those that need it, those that are disconnected, those that don't know. So I want to encourage you to think, just close your eyes right now. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to our hearts. God, who is somebody this week that we can pray for, prepare for, but just speak life and be a blessing to? whether it's a note or a text or maybe a moment, or maybe it's over coffee or a meal, but that God, that you'll give us the opportunity to have meaningful moments with people that are disconnected, people that don't even know they need to take a step towards you, that they can connect with you, that Life Church can be a place that point people to Jesus in our everyday, ordinary lives. Not the spectacular, but in every moment and every minute that you would give us. So God, I just pray right now that we will have a heart for people that you have a heart for, that we'll see them how you see them, that we'll love how you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen, amen.